Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwit, and I'm honored to be learning with you. Before we delve into Perek Aleph, I'd like to say a few words about Nevi'im Achronim, the later prophets, which include the books of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and Treasar. People often think that because they're called the latter prophets, they must have taken place later, but that's actually not true. The book of Melachim ends with the destruction of the temple, and we know that most of the books of the latter prophets preceded that event. So what then distinguishes Nevi'im Rishonim from Nevi'im Achronim? The truth is that Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim cover the same historical time period, but from different vantage points. Nevi'im Rishonim tells a story, and from that historical narrative, we, the readers, need to pick out the prophetic message. In contrast, in Nevi'im Achronim, the message or the musar is primary, and from there we use clues to pick out the historical context. We'll study these messages in two ways. Firstly, against the backdrop of history, in order to understand how the nevuah resonated in its own time period, but also in order to understand the universal messages. The Gemara in Megillah 14a says, "Harbei neviim amdu lahem liYisrael kiflaim ki yotzei Mitzrayim, ela nevua shehutzucha ledorot nichtava, v'shelo hutzucha lo nichtava." Meaning, many prophets arose for the Jewish people, double the number of Jews who left Egypt. However, only a portion of these prophecies were recorded, because only prophecy that was needed for future generations was written down, but that which was not needed was not written. Our assumption then is that there were many more prophecies than what we have included in our Tanakh. As such, if a prophecy was written and included in Tanakh, it must have a message for all times. So as we're learning, we're going to keep our eye on that as well. So let's jump right into it. Perek Aleph, which begins with the words Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz, the vision of Yeshayahu, the son of Amotz. And it introduces one of the most famous passages of Yeshayahu, as it serves as the Haftorah of Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat that precedes Tisha B'Av. This pasuk gives us important historical context, telling us that Yeshayahu, Isaiah, was a prophet of the southern kingdom of Israel, which included Jerusalem, during the times of kings Uzziyahu, Yotam, Ahaz, and Chizkiyahu, who we know ruled in the 8th century BCE. Perek Aleph is best understood as an introduction to Yeshayahu, but a very particular type of introduction, as a retrospective study of the many years that Yeshayahu prophesied, and I'd like to hone in on a few important parts of this particular prophecy. In Psukim Zayin through Chet, 7 through 8, Yeshayahu describes a very sad state of Jerusalem. I'm going to read these two psukim and we'll discuss them. Artzechem shmama, arechem srufot esh, admatchem linegdechem zarim ochlimota, ushmama kemahapechat zarim. That your land is a waste, your cities are burnt down, and before your eyes the produce of your soil, that which you toiled over, is consumed by strangers. Jerusalem has become a wasteland. Vinotra bat Zion kasuka bakerem kimluna b'mishke ki ir netzura, and Yerushalayim, Zion, is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field, and like a city that is under siege. And this, in fact, was the state of Jerusalem towards the end of Yeshayahu's time period. Many of us are familiar with the exile of the 10 tribes and the references to the 10 lost tribes. This event, the exile of the northern kingdom of Israel by Assyria, occurred in 722 during Yeshayahu's lifetime. On the one hand, Jerusalem was saved. Yet, on the other hand, Yeshayahu and the people of his time period witnessed Jerusalem go from a powerful metropolis to a lone, isolated city. And in truth, it was not only the northern section of Jerusalem that was conquered, but also many prominent southern cities, such as the city of Lachish, which was close to Jerusalem. In an apt comparison, Yeshayahu continues, "Lulei Hashem tzvakot hotir lanu sarid, kim'at kistom hayinu la'amorat daminu." Had not Hashem left us some survivors, we, meaning the people of Jerusalem, would have been like Sodom and Amorah. Now, Yeshayahu brings us back to the destruction of Sodom in the time of Abraham, when it was completely destroyed. Only Lot and his family were saved. Here, only because of Hashem's mercy, Yeshayahu points out, Jerusalem did not suffer the same fate. But then, in the very next pasuk, Yeshayahu continues this comparison to Sodom and Amorah, but transmits it in a shocking way. Shim'u davar Hashem kitzinei Sodom, ha'azinu torat Elokeinu am Amorah. And he turns now to the people of Israel and says, hear the word of Hashem, you leaders of Sodom, listen to Hashem's instruction, people of Amorah. Now suddenly, Yeshayahu begins referring to Bnei Israel as Sodom and Amorah. It's not only the physical destruction of Israel that he's comparing with Sodom, but also the current spiritual state of the people. He wants the people to take the difficult psychological leap of not just lamenting their physical struggles, but grappling with the spiritual state that got them into that situation to begin with. Now, this transition leads Yeshayahu to make some very surprising accusations against Bnei Israel. We're going to read a few of those statements, and then we'll try to unpack them. Okay, so let's take a look at Pasuket Aleph, Pasuk 11. Hashem asks, and this is a rhetorical question here, Lama li rov zivchechem, yomar Hashem, savati olot elim v'chelev mireim, v'dam parim u'kvasim v'atudim lo chafatzti. God asks, why do I need all your sacrifices? I'm filled up with all your burnt offerings, all the different types of sacrifices that you bring to me. None of them bring me any delight. In Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, he continues, Ki tavo lirot panai, mi bikesh zot miyadchem, ramos chatzerai. When you come to see me in the Beit HaMikdash, who asked you to do that? In fact, you're trampling my courtyard. And I continue now with Tet Vav, verse 15, Ubiproschem kapechem aalim einai mikem, gam ki tarbu tfila eineni shomea, yadechem damim maleo. And even when you lift up your hands to me, I will turn my eyes away from you. And even though you pray at length, I, Hashem, will not listen. Now this is shocking. Hashem begins by telling us, through Yeshayahu, his prophet, that he no longer desires the korbanot that we offer him in the Beit HaMikdash. And ultimately, though, he comes to reject all of our ritual acts, including our most intimate connection to him, the connection that we form through our tefillot. But why? How did we get to this place? The end of the pasuk gives us a clue. When it says, Yadechem damim maleu, your hands are filled with blood. And I always have an image here of Lady Macbeth, who just can't get the stain off her hands. And here too, the stain of blood is on the hands of the people of Jerusalem. Now, what exactly is the stain? So we turn now to Psukim Tet Zion and Yud Zion, which will give direction about how to remove that stain. And the prophet begins, Rachatsu, Hizaku, Hesiru Roa Me'alalecha Mineged Einai. Wash yourselves clean, put away all the evil doings away from my sight. Meaning that there is a way, there is a recourse, how to cleanse yourself from all of this blood. And it involves, he continues, Limdu hitev, dirshu mishpat, ishru chamotz, shiftu yatom, rivu almana. Learn to do good. Devote yourself to justice. Aid those who have been wronged and uphold the rights of the orphan and defend the case of the widow. The widow and the orphan are actually invoked so many times in Tanakh, and that's because people are judged by how they treat the most vulnerable in society. These two groups represent people who don't have the powerful protection or connections. The only thing these people could depend on is these qualities of tzedek u'mishpat, a system of justice that's based on underlying values and not power and privilege. These words actually remind me of the popular memoir by Bryan Stevenson, which is titled Just Mercy, which was recently made into a movie. Bryan Stevenson spent his law career defending convicted prisoners on death row who did not receive a fair trial because of either poverty or racial bias. And this is the system that Yeshayahu too demands, a society that is motivated by the principles of justice and kindness. So what Yeshayahu is railing against here is religious hypocrisy. Hashem rejects the korbanot and even the tefillot of the community if they represent only external actions. A community that looks really vibrant religiously can in fact be very empty. Yeshayahu takes a strong stand here and says, if this is the case, don't bother offering all these sacrifices because they don't mean anything to Hashem when they don't represent a core that is ethical. Now to review, the parak starts out with a description of desolate Jerusalem and compares her desolation to the to coming close to the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. In the second half of the parak, Yeshayahu accuses Jerusalem of religious hypocrisy, bringing many sacrifices, but failing to create a society that's based on tzedek u'mishpat, righteousness and justice. I'll close here with 2 points. Firstly, the comparison to Sodom and Amorah rings true because Hashem destroyed Sodom and Amorah for the corrupt society that they created, one that particularly preyed on all of the most vulnerable in that community. The children of Abraham, in contrast, were meant to be those who uphold tzedek u'mishpat, right? Righteousness and justice, kindness, chesed. So this comparison where the children of Abraham are now compared to Sodom and Amorah is particularly devastating. Now, my second point, though, is more optimistic. The parak closes by stating, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh b'shaveha b'tzedakah. Tzion, Yerushalayim, will be saved through justice. And through tzedakah, the justice and the kindness, that will redeem Jerusalem. The door, then, is still open, and Yeshayahu tells the people, rebuild a society based on tzedek u'mishpat, and Hashem will welcome you back. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.